Welcome to another episode of the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. Today, we are discussing the role of the captain. We will be joined by former UConn Husky, WNBA All-Star, and founder of Elevate Sports Academy, Rita Williams, as well as legendary head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons, Doug Bruno.
Welcome to the Junior NBA Coaches Corner. Here are your hosts, Dallin Cuff and Monica McNutt.
What's up, folks? Welcome into another edition of the Junior NBA Coaches Corner alongside the one and only Mona McNutt. I'm Dallin Cuff. Today, we are discussing the role of the captain. Mon, I know you were a captain at Georgetown, as I was at Columbia. You didn't seem to enjoy your experience, though, you said. What's up with that?
Let me tell you, we have 15 girls on our team. I was the only senior, and they had such big personalities. And I can't say that all of them were focused on basketball. It's just like, oh, okay.
That sounds eerily familiar because there were two other seniors. One was a walk-on. One was a guy that was not, he was not a leader. And our squad was all sophomores and freshmen. And those dudes were trying hard to get in trouble and get me in trouble, mind you. But I had to crack a whip a few times. But we'll get into that. The role of the captain, the importance of it from a coaching perspective and a playing perspective. Two outstanding guests. First up, she played her college ball at UConn, where she helped lead the Huskies to three Big East titles, a Final Four appearance, was named captain at UConn her junior and senior seasons. She went on to be an all-star career in the WNBA, playing for the Washington Mystics, your hometown team, Monica, and the Indiana Fever, and is the founder of Elevate Sports Academy. She also serves as AD and head varsity girls coach at the Mount Vernon School in Atlanta. Rita Williams, good to have you with us, Rita. And we are also joined by a true force in the women's game. He played college ball at DePaul, and he is heading into his 35th year as the head coach for his alma mater. He has guided the Blue Demons to 18 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, a feat which was impressive to say the least. In the last 7 years, he has won six Big East regular season titles, five Big East tournament titles. Furthermore, he is the only coach to be recognized twice as USA Basketball Developmental Coach of the Year and has numerous conference and WBCA Coach of the Year honors. Welcome in the one and only Doug Bruno. Bruno, Doug and Rita, ridiculous bios, and thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us.
We got, no doubt, as always on this podcast, such accomplished folks, and we are very fortunate to have you here discussing the role of the captain. I know you guys heard us a little bit lamenting what the role can be like as players, especially when your team is younger. Before we get into some of that, Coach Reed, I'll start with you. In terms of actually picking a captain, because I think we always talk about the characteristics, but how do you, as a coach, do you have the players vote? How do you recognize who the captain will be of your squad and what that means?
Well, I had the luxury of trying it a couple different ways each year. This is my fourth year here at Mount Vernon. And so the first year, I picked the captains. And I just picked the captains based off of, like, the qualities that you would want your captains to have and the type of accountability and responsibility that comes along with that role, not just what you do on the court, but what you also do off the court and in the classroom. So with high school is a couple of different measurables that I go by. And I'm not saying that you have to be a straight A student, but you also have to be able to do your best in the classroom, because it's still what we want to see you do your best on the court too. And so at the same time, it doesn't have to be the quote unquote best player, the highest scorer that's on the team as well, that's going to be your captain. So you want a captain where that the other players are going to respect. You want them to be able to work hard and lead by example. And so the other year, I let the players pick. Like, I let them choose. So I wanted to kind of see which way I wanted to go, just as being a head coach. And then this is my fourth year here now. So this year was kind of a little different because of the pandemic. So we didn't know if we were playing or not. So it was, each game was kind of up in the air. But this year, I just kind of picked a kid each game to come up to be our captain because of everybody just trying to be all in and with the pandemic. But I think that for me, I would go away from having kids pick because they want to pick their friends. And then they don't want their friends to be upset that they didn't pick them. So I would go away from that. I did like the fact that we had a couple different players come up because they're still young. And I think, you know, you get rewarded by how hard you work in practice. not necessarily what you do in a game. So I did like that dynamic of kind of like choosing someone different each game. And so I don't know how I would actually overall feel like I would want to do next year, but I would either pick it or I would do the rotating of the captains, mm-hmm. because I feel like when you empower kids, it brings out other stuff in them, because it could be a kid that don't even play as much mm-hmm. as other kids. But if I'm empowering them, saying this today, you're coming up because I see how hard you've been working. Not necessarily saying you even stepped on the floor, but you've been working hard. So I see what you've been doing. So you come up and be captain today. So I think I kind of like that.
Coach Bruno, how have you approached it at DePaul over your decades there?
We really try to teach and preach that the mere fact you're on the basketball team means you have chosen to be a leader. So we really want everybody to have a responsibility, a feeling of responsibility of leadership from the moment they get there, even as freshmen. And then we try to impress upon our team that you're either a chemistry builder or a chemistry buster. There's no in between. And so, I mean, we really try to build a program on four pillars that are very important and go into, when people say, what are you looking for when you recruit? Well, first pillar is that you're unselfish. Second pillar is that you're a great teammate. Third pillar is that you're ultra competitive. And fourth pillar is that you're going to be a hard worker, both in school and in basketball. So those are kind of the four pillars that we're recruiting. Then once we get here, I do something that I've been criticized for. Believe me, I've taught class on the subject of coaching and leadership for many years at DePaul. And we've had many guest speakers, and this is a fascinating question, but there's so many different ways to decide who's your captain. But we tell every single player that's in our program that as a senior, I want you to be named a captain. I want you to walk out of here saying that you've been a captain at DePaul University. I want that on your resume. Now that's yours to win or yours to, it's more yours to lose. Mm-hmm. So by doing that, we build a culture, hopefully. And I know that, you know, next to the DePaul program, I'm probably closest to Rita's program because Gino and I are so close. And I've been blessed to be at so many Final Fours with them and watch the UConn players come back. So, and the multitude of UConn players that come back and share in each championship that they are, each run for a championship every year. But let's just stay with DePaul right now. And, you know, so we want every single senior to become a captain. And we want them to earn that. We want to build a culture where the elders teach the youngers. Mm-hmm. Where because every year there's a new group of freshmen coming in, and they're sophomores or juniors or seniors. Everybody's in a different place of experience of being a college player, of the newness of DePaul, of getting used to me and the staff, of college at DePaul, Lincoln Park, Chicago. I mean, they're all in a different state of understanding our DePaul culture. So we want the elders to constantly be teaching the youngers. So at the same time, just because you're a senior does not give you, we don't want this to be a birthright. Mm-hmm. And we also don't want the strength of leadership to be waiting. I'm going to wait. Well, I'm not a leader until I'm a senior. And these are some of the pitfalls of doing it my way. Sometimes the sophomores and juniors say, well, it's not my job. I'm not a senior yet. So we also encourage, back to the vote concept, we might have a vote every year. Is there anybody else worthy of being a captain that's not a senior? And the answer might, you know, if so, who? And there might come forth someone, there might come forth a couple, and then we will vote, not every year, but in those different situations. So you're not denying someone the opportunity to be a two-time captain or even a three-time captain. It's very rare that you have a four-time captain. So at any rate, this is how we do it. And I don't know that it's perfect. I don't know that's foolproof. I think I've already started talking about some of the pitfalls of doing it the way we do it. But at the same time, the long and short of this is we want the elders to teach the youngers and move the program along from year to year.
So it's really interesting, Rita and Coach Bruno. I remember being voted a captain and appointed a captain. But I also remember feeling as if I was given this title without tools. We had one of those team building exercises, and Felicia Hall Allen, actually, who we all know in the space, came in and helped us address some things, but then she left. And I was the captain holding the bag and trying to navigate these personalities, the adversities that come with the season. So I'm curious about your ongoing relationships with your captain. Like, I was quick to get called to Flo's office when things were going awry. I don't know. In hindsight, I just think there possibly could have been more nurturing there to make that more an effective experience, both for me personally and for my teammates. So once you've appointed a captain, what does it look like working with them in that role and its application for your team, Rita?
So for me, I know that sometimes even the captain, I mean, I'm speaking from a high school standpoint, so it's a different level of being a captain in the collegiate space. So from the high school standpoint, and I'm speaking as a coach, not as a player, right? So like, I have to empower the captain because, and I have to help them understand how to be confident in that role, because being a captain also means you have to speak up. Right? You have to speak up, because that's what we want our captains to do, is like, you have to now, you have to have accountability and responsibility, but it's also, you have to now make your teammates have those same type of accountability, not same, but in their own way. And so some of them are not necessarily at that age or as confident to do that. So I have to now also help them be that voice. So I have to also like kind of guide them along. So now once they're in that space of feeling comfortable and confident to say those things, then they're able to, or to be able to lead by example. They may not know yet how to lead by example as a captain. They may know how to do it in the classroom because they're just, that's a personal thing. They're getting A's and B's. But then when they have to lead a group, it's a completely different dynamic because it's still 12 girls, right? Different ages, 14, 15. So it could get catty. It could be, you know, so it's definitely different from college. And so now, you know, you've got to deal with, okay, I have to tell my friend who I'm about to hang out with that she's not going hard enough. How do I do that? So I meet with them at the beginning of the year to let them know that I have their back. And so, well, not to be like after they've been appointed the captain, I'll have their back. But now when I changed, this past season, when I kind of just changed who the captain was, it wasn't really something, because it was just a weird year for us pandemic-wise, it wasn't anything necessarily there. But when I actually appointed them, that's just kind of how I went about doing it for them. I had to be the backbone to them, be in the face of it, but I had to usher them along.
So that's ongoing for you throughout the season? Like, you're always talking to your captain?
Yeah, I'm always talking to them because like it's still, because then too, like they're still young, so they're still, they're supposed to be the captain, but they may like, and I'll say like some of our better players have been captains. And so sometimes some of the other players may not feel that they can now match what they are bringing to the court. So what I would have to say to them is say like, they can't be who you are. You have to bring out who they are, and they can't match what you do because you are a little more talented than they are. So you have to bring out who they are. And so if the best thing they could do is rebound or dive on a ball, so you encourage them to do that. And because we need all those different intangibles. So yes, I have to guide them to do those things because they're still learning, they're still young.
Yeah, love that. Coach Bruno, you've got young women that are a little bit older, a little bit more seasoned, but I hope you don't leave your captains on an island.
Figure it out.
Those are some great points. We were just talking about, though, about the intangibles and getting the stronger players to help the younger players or the less talented players or the players at a different stage develop and move along and come along. But before the season starts, Monica, we talk about a player-led team versus a coaching-led team. And we say to them, look, we're going to succeed this year. And if we coaches have to be the leaders, we'll be the leaders. But if you really want to reach your ultimate pinnacle of success, the most successful teams are player-owned, not coach-owned. And nobody knows what goes on behind the closed doors of the locker room. That's your space. It's your personal team space. And we coaches really work hard not to get into that space. So, you know, you are going to have to make a decision amongst yourselves as to whether this is going to be a player-owned team or – you know, if we see that it's going to not happen, then we'll make it a coach-owned team. But we're going to be successful one way or the other. And then throughout the year, we have our players come to our office every day. And DePaul is a unique place, and it's a large university, but the geography of where the apartments are that our players live to where our coaches' offices are to our practice facility are all within 5 to 10 minutes of each other. We ask our players to come through our office every single day before noon just to check in. And it might just be hello, bye, hi, bye to all the coaches, but it might be hi, bye, come on and sit down. But so I do really try to communicate with my captains, not necessarily on a daily basis, but minimally once a week. And again, the communication model in our program is outlined before the players even get here as recruits. So we really encourage and actually almost demand direct communication amongst ourselves. But I will sit with my captains on multiple occasions each week even. And you know, I do watch practice a second time because I see it better from the eye in the sky than I do in person. I mean, on the floor. So sometimes I can see some little rubbing here and rubbing there. So I just really try to stay directly communicative on top of it with our captains and with our team. So no, Monica, we don't leave them out on an island. But not every team is the same, and not every team is player owned.
That's for sure, Coach. And that's one of the biggest things, no doubt, with the best teams, as your point to your point, is being player owned. And Rita, you were saying like you got to know how to push your players and your captain in particular, know how they're going to respond to certain things. Personally, I was a captain at every level from a little kid to being in college, and I took great pride in that. And my dad was big on leadership. We talked about it all the time. It's one of the discussions or things I think are most important in society is leadership and what those qualities are. And Joe Jones is my coach, who's now BU. Sometimes we're like, yep, you're being an average captain. He could call me a million different words. You call me an average captain, I'm really annoyed. Now I'm really like wondering what's going on here. And we'd had that discussion. Why is he saying that? To that point, there's so many different types of leadership, and you've had great captains, I'm sure, and you've had average captains, I'm sure. So Rita, when you think about one or two qualities that within your program, they have to exude as a captain, what are those things that they have to exude to meet your expectations?
They have to be neutral, right? They have to know how to be neutral and honest. Because I have to know, like when they go into that locker room and I'm like, as Coach Bruno was saying, like when they're in that locker room, that's their space. And I do try to stay away from that. And I need to know what's going on. And I know that when I pull them aside and say, hey, what's the situation, that I'm going to get exactly what's going on. And so that for me, like honesty is the biggest thing. And being able to be neutral and understanding that you can't be one-sided. Like if something's going on or you only want to yell at this person. Like it was a time when like I had to get on the captain because I was just like, why are you only yelling at her? Like she's doing it too. Why are you telling her to make a layup? She ain't making layups either. So when you, and they have to recognize when they're being, not necessarily because sometimes they feel they can, not yell, but I'm saying like get on a player that they know that's not going to say something back or that may not be as talented. So they have to know how to be neutral. So those are the two things that, the two qualities that are important to me. And integrity and character, all that other stuff. But if I had to pick two, like, you know, we have a list of them, but you know, you could go on and on with what the different qualities are, but that's important, having character and leadership skills and all those other things. But being honest and being neutral, like I feel like those, like character and integrity, that all comes with being honest.
For sure. That's why I ask. I think people could list 10, 12 that characters that have to be there, but there are priorities in each program that I think are most important or within your perspective. So I think that was a very interesting answer.
Neutrality is such an interesting characteristic to look for, Rita, but I guess it kind of folds right into my next question. When you pick a captain, are you a single captain type of coach or have you had multiple captains? Because I find that can be a very different dynamic. I know when I was by myself, it's very different when you have someone you can defer to, at least discuss whatever you need to present to the team.
Yeah, I guess it all depends, though. I wouldn't be opposed or against to not to only having one, but I could see the challenges that could come along with just only having one captain, especially if they're not a strong personality, because they could have all the other characteristics but just not have that strong personality, but they're still capable of being a captain. But I've always had two captains, and it wasn't necessarily – and you just taught me something because – I didn't say, okay, well, they're going to need to lean on each other, but that's something that just, you know, you learn every day that, mm-hmm. that you being by yourself, like you don't have nobody to talk to, like, how can we go in to attack this mm-hmm. together, you know? Or I've always just had two because I just felt like it was a balance. Sometimes we just isolate just one kid and just say, okay, well, because then you can now have other players like, why she get picked? Like, you mm-hmm. know, that type of thing. And not as opposed to, unless it's just a whole unanimous, like, oh yeah, we love her, this player. But I've just always had two, just so I could have a balance.
I'm sure. I mean, like when I look back in college, our guy, but he was so, the other guy was my co-captain, was so demure in his personality, but he walked on and he just worked harder than every single person. He was like, he was like Rudy. He won every sprint. He was 5'10", but he would try to dunk it on you, which was egregious at times, but he had everything in him, but he just didn't have the voice. So we complimented each other well. In your opinion, a coach, I think, will always say it's easiest when your best player is a great leader, shows it all by example. But when you have captains that are up and down the roster in terms of their talent ability, how could that benefit a team to not to have it be somebody that may be a walk-on or be the last guy on the bench or last woman on the bench, but exudes some different qualities? Does that matter, their talent as relates to their leadership abilities?
No. I mentioned that earlier that for me, like, it's not about the most talented player, because typically, like, that's who even kids will just automatically assume that's who's going to get and become to get that captainship or become the captain is that the player with the most talent. And that's not the case for me. Like, you got to earn that. Like, you have to earn being a captain. And like I said, it's not just what you do on the court. Like, you could be an amazing player, but off the court, we got to talk about some things. Right. So now you can't be able to say, that's when you have to identify what does the description of what a captain means to your particular program, because it means something different in different organizations or different schools. So for me, like, you have to, I'm not saying you have to get A's and B's and you got to be an honor roll student, but if you are trying your absolute best in the highest thing, like, I mean, absolute best, and your highest grade is a C, then to me, like, you're doing your absolute best, because everybody doesn't learn the same way. So for me, like, if you're talented and your highest grade is a C and you're doing your absolute best and you get all out, to me, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, if there is somebody that is on our bench that works as hard as they possibly can, they may not play a lot. They may not have the most talent on the team, but they do all the other little things that we need. Like, they're the first one up off the bench to greet their teammates, to cheer them on. Like, they're motivating players on the bench, or when they get in the game, they're doing everything they can to contribute to our team, bringing us together for team building adventures, so we can build that team chemistry, that team camaraderie. To me, that's also a leader, and that's also for me to be like, okay, you know what? That deserves a look at being a captain, not just what you do with the ball going in the basket.
Awesome. We appreciate it. You guys have been great. Rita, you've been outstanding. Coach Bruno was great. And sorry if we had a technical difficulties, lost Coach Bruno toward the end here. But Rita, you've been outstanding, as was Coach. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You know, God bless you guys.
On the next episode of Junior NBA Coach's Corner, we're talking team goal setting.
And joining us is former Knicks, Trailblazers, Mavericks assistant, and current assistant with Indiana Pacers, Caleb Canales, and the head coach of Wheeler High School in Georgia, former Sports Illustrated National Coach of the Year, Larry Thompson.
Thanks for listening. Make sure to join Monica and Dallin each week on the Junior NBA Coach's Corner. For more, go to juniornba.com or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.